And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 1st of January, 2015. New Year's Day, when many people suffering from dehydration caused by the diuretic effect of alcohol, which causes shrinkage of the brain tissue, awake with a headache. Alcohol also irritates the lining of the stomach, causing queasiness, and the combination of headache and queasiness is called a hangover. In Roman times, Pliny the Elder considered raw owl's eggs to be a hangover remedy. Medieval Europeans recommended raw eels with bitter almonds. The Chinese drank green tea. The Japanese ate pickled plums. At the World Expo in Paris, 1878, they introduced a new remedy called the prairie oyster, a raw egg with the yolk intact, mixed with Tabasco sauce, Worcestershire, salt, and pepper. In India, they drank coconut water, which is rich in electrolytes. Some people swear by the Bloody Mary. Ernest Hemingway recommended tomato juice in beer. And Robert Benchley, a good drinker himself, said the only cure for a real hangover is death. It's the birthday of E.M. Forster, London, 1879. Raised by his mother and his aunts, he inherited a great deal of money, so when he graduated from Cambridge, he had the freedom to devote his life to writing. 1901, he began a novel that he called Lucy, about a young woman who travels to Italy with her spinsterish older cousin. It eventually became his third published novel, A Room with a View, his first big literary success, Howard's End, in 1910. A Passage to India came out 14 years after that, set during the British colonial period in India. And his novel Morris, homosexual love story, wasn't published until after Forster died in 1970. It's the birthday of J.D. Salinger, New York City, 1919. In 1946, The New Yorker published his story Slight Rebellion off Madison. And Salinger incorporated some of the elements of the story, including the teenage protagonist Holden Caulfield, into his first and only novel, The Catcher in the Rye. It came out in 1951, an instant success. Still the second most taught book in American high schools, but also the most censored book in the country, which begins, if you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me and all that David Copperfield kind of crap, but I don't feel like going into it if you want to know the truth. Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston, Interlude. We're waiting for snow, the way we might wait for a train to arrive with its cold cargo. It is late already, but surely it will come. We are waiting for snow, the way we might wait for permission to breathe again. For only the snow will release us. Only the snow will be a letting go, a blind falling towards the body of earth and towards each other. And while we wait at this window, whose sheer transparency is clouded already with our mutual breath, it is as if our whole lives depended on the freezing color of the sky, on the white, soon-to-be-fractured gaze of winter. Linda Paston's poem Interlude from Queen of Rainy Country, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.